Well, I thank you very much. You know, we don't have a sermonette, so we could have had about three more songs. I guess we'll make it, won't we? I'll find my glasses. If you want a title on my sermon, it's going to be The Commandments, A Royal Law of Love. I know, I forgot to bring my stand again. You know, we have these guys that's 10'6", and here I am. Thank you, Mr. Browning. You know, let's start out with the knowledge that Jesus Christ founded the Christian faith on the principle of love. The Ten Commandments are love. You know, John, one of Christ's disciples, and probably one of his closest friends, he penned the words near the end of his life. Let's turn to John, 1 John 4. We're going to be in 1 John for a little while. 1 John 4, we're going to read verse 16 through 18. 1 John 4, 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Brother, and that's a fact. But what is love? What is love? What you need to do is you need to go around asking some of your friends, or some maybe people that you work with, and see how many different kind of answers you get. You know, will they describe it as a feeling, or will they describe it as a deeply caring feeling for someone? You're probably going to get a lot of different answers if you go ask your friends. Okay, I'm going to read 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Now, some people might think, boy, he's getting mushy. Well, that's here in the Bible. It's right here. It is clear that love can, you know, mean different things to different people. Like I've sometimes said, boy, I sure love frozen yogurt. Do I love frozen yogurt or do I like it? And some might say, boy, I love that new car you just bought. Does he really love it? Or does he just desire having one like it? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could use a consistent definition of love? Especially when we are speaking about the love that God has for us. I'm going to read verse 1 John 4, verse 9 through 12. 1 John 4, verse 9, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God has so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Good point. Everybody here should love one another. No man has seen God at any time. So if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could do this, to be that way, everybody? However, as we can see, each love is truly lacking in this world. God's love, especially, is lacking in this world. Most people will acknowledge that, well, maybe it's some love, or at least some degree of respect in some personal relationship, but a great deal of caution is in order there also, as we consider that the true definition of love. I'm going to go back a couple pages to 1 John 2, maybe three pages. 1 John 2, verse 4 through 6 is what I'm going to read. 1 John 2, verse 4. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Boy, that's pretty bold, isn't it? Right here it is. Not me, it's God saying that. Verse 5. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Verse 6. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. So we should walk like Jesus Christ. We should walk every way that Christ does. We should be that way. Many religions embrace the idea of loving others as themselves, but they seem to remain unaware of how the Bible defines love. So as a result, they do not understand the necessity of putting into practice the biblical principles of love. So that determines the success or the failure of their relationship with one another. You know, for love to be meaningful, it must be accurately defined and understood. The Ten Commandments, brethren, not nine, Ten Commandments. I've mentioned a lot of times where I've talked to ministers, and for some reason they omit the fourth commandment. One of them I talked to, and he said, well, we observe the Sabbath, Saturday. I said, well, when's your service? And he said, 6 o'clock in the evening. Said, what do you do about December, January, somewhere? No answer. I want to turn to John 13. Turn back to John 13. I'm going to read verse 34 and 35, John 13. Verse 34. A new command I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. So we need to ask ourselves, brethren, do we know the ultimate purpose of God's love, of God's Ten Commandments? Do we know? Jesus Christ defined the purpose of God's law as teaching us how to apply the two principles of loving God and loving our neighbor. Who's our neighbor? Others. Everybody. Everybody here is our neighbors. I want to turn back to Matthew 22. I'm going to read verse 35 through 40. Matthew 22, verse 35. And this first sentence right here talks about this really smart lawyer. Here's what he says. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question. He was tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, he was wanting him to just pick out one, point out one commandment. But Jesus said unto him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, what is all the law? Ten commandments. Not just one or two. All the law is the Ten Commandments. You know, with our explosive increasing knowledge, you know, like computers what is them other things? Notebooks and iPads and all that. You know, you would think that people would know all about the Ten Commandments and how to keep them. But anyway, with all these gadgets that you have around, you know, why is it that so few understand the fundamental biblical truths about the Ten Commandments? Why can everyone grasp that? All the laws and prophets, the scriptures we know as the Old Testament, first teach us the right way to love. The Old Testament, you know, of course it came first. Came before the New Testament. But the Old Testament teaches us. First teach us the right way to love, and then vividly depict the problems and the penalties. You mean there's penalties for not keeping the Ten Commandments? Yes. Virtually depict the problems and penalties that arise from the lack of love. So why? Why do so many people believe that the godly love is taught only in the New Testament? Why do they believe that? I can't answer that one, because most Bibles have the Old Testament and the New Testament for your enjoyment or for your to get more knowledge. Read them. Ten Commandments are in both. Love is the centerpiece of all scriptures of both the Old and the New Testament. Many people, they would be amazed to learn that Jesus was quoting the Old Testament when he talked about love, talked about the Ten Commandments, and talked about love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, let's go back to Leviticus 19, Now we're getting close to the Holy Days area, aren't we? Leviticus 19. We're going to read verse 18. Leviticus 19, 18. You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of the of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And while we're back in here in the Old Testament, let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10, we're going to read verse 12 through 15. It is here where, also where Moses was writing. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, to keep the Ten Commandments of the Lord. I didn't see a 10 there, but I don't see a 9 there either. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day, for they are good. Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens is the Lord's, your God. The earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in your father to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. He's talking about us, brethren. We are his people. And he does love us. Every commandment of God is for our good. If you study them, you will realize that they are. And obeying God's commandments and practicing love are the irrevocable link together in God's eyes. And this is because the commandments define the love that is the foundation for all godly relationships. Love is the foundation for all godly relationship. You know, love simply summarizes the Ten Commandments, like I have been saying. And Paul wrote in Romans 13, let's go ahead and turn to Romans 13. I'm going to read verse 9 through 11, Romans 13, verse 9. For this, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall live. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And you can say love is the fulfilling of the Ten Commandments. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Awake out of your sleep. In other words, we got to get on the ball, don't we? And get to studying. Brethren, all you got to do is watch TV. Watch the news. What's going on around the world. It's getting closer. And we better start paying more attention to one another, paying more attention to what's going on, and love each other as God has told us to do. You know, from the beginning, God's interaction with human beings has been motivated by His love for us. From the very beginning, from Adam and Eve, His love for us has been great. And as Jesus said, well, let's go to John 3. John 3, verse 16. John 3:16. For God so loved, you know, everybody knows that scripture, don't they? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I think back about 95 when the separation or whatever you want to call it, where they decided you don't have to keep law anymore. Think about that, brethren. They're saying you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. In other words, you don't have to love anyone. It's not true. So we must learn the real meaning of love, or we cannot receive eternal life. We won't if we don't find out what true love is. Turn with me to James 2. I'm going to read verse 8 through 11. James 2, verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, then you do well. If you do this, you do well, and we all should. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. He is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, you are become a transgressor of the law. If you break one of the Ten Commandments, you just well disregard them all. If you break one, you broke them all. God will not allow the presence of resentment, like jealousy, hostility, terrorist. He's not going to allow that. He's not going to allow our selfish desires of human nature either to carry forward. It's not going to, brethren. It's not going to carry forward into eternity, into the kingdom of God. It's not going to do it. Now I want to go to 1 John 3. We'll read verse 14 and 15. 1 John 3, 14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So we come again to the question, what is love? So John gives us the answer, 2 John 1, I'm in first. We're going to read verse 6. 2 John 1, verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. In other words, brethren, learn the Ten Commandments and walk in them. And then the Apostle Paul tells us, again, in Romans 13, verse 10. I know we read this earlier. Romans 13, verse 10, it says, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. And I know earlier I said the Ten Commandments. But what is the law? It's the Ten Commandments. So now, ask, what is sin? Notice how the Bible defines sin in 1 John 3, verse 4. I should have kept my fingers in 1 John. First John 3, verse 4 says, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law being the Ten Commandments. For sin is a transgression of the law. According to the Bible, sin is just simply breaking any of God's Ten Commandments, isn't it? Simply breaking them. You don't just simply break any of the Ten Commandments. And John continues in verse 10 and 11. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So in Jesus Christ's own words, to abide in or maintain the practice of godly love is accomplished by keeping the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments of God. And we already read 1 John 2:4. I want to go back there again. 1 John 2:4. Because it says, whoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So what is the penalty for sin? Everybody should know that. It's death. God's example teaches us that obedience and godly love are inseparable. Godly love and obedience is inseparable. You can't separate them. Sin is simply violating love by transgressing the Ten Commandments of God. Sin is lawlessness, neglecting or refusing to be bound by God's rules that define true godly love. You can't get away from that. you want to be in God's kingdom. Brethren, God does not give us the liberty to behave just any way we please. If you study in the Ten Commandments, you'll see that God does not give us that liberty. It plainly defines liberty, though, as a freedom from sin. And its devastating consequences, not freedom to fulfill our selfish desires. It doesn't give us that. I want to go back to Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. And then 18 through 23, I want to read that. There is no fear of God before their eyes, nor we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Brethren, think about the Ten Commandments. Study them. I'm going to turn to Romans 6. I want to read verse 20 through 23, Romans 6. It says, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God's commandments set the foundation, the fundamental standard by which he will judge us. I'm going to go to 1 John 5. I'm going to read verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Some people think they are, but they are not. So instead of being an encumbrance, the commandments of God light the path to godly love and liberty. This truth is illustrated in Psalms 119. Let's go back to Psalms. Psalms 119. A lot of verses in Psalms. Psalms 119. We're going to read verse 98. And let's read verse 44 through 45. Seems I find it here. Verse 44 says, "So shall I keep the law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek my precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed." Sometimes, brethren, when you're out maybe to a restaurant or something, you're not ashamed, are you, to mention the Ten Commandments? Of course, we shouldn't be. Verse 47, "And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto your commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in your statutes." Now I want to go to verse 98 through 105. Just across the page in my Bible. Verse 98 says, "Though through your commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies." Well, I sure hope that. I sure hope that's the way everybody feels. Because possibly and probably mostly your enemies don't even know the Ten Commandments or read them. "For they are ever with me, the Ten Commandments. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgment, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words unto my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Last night our electric went off. Two times. First time, as I went to find flashlights, and I just got them, and an electric came on. The second time it went off was somewhere around 1 o'clock in the morning. It was off for exactly 1 minute. Just enough to wake you up, you know, and make you wonder. Now I've lost my place. Brethren, it says, no wonder Jesus reminded us that it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm not going to turn there, but that's in Matthew 4:4. It's probably a memory scripture anyway, in Matthew 4:4. But I do want to go to Matthew 5:17. I don't know why I'm going back in the Old Testament. Matthew 5:17. I'm here in probably some of my best scriptures that I think of anyway, because it talks about your example and all. Let your light shine, you know, and all that stuff. But verse 17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So by fulfill, Christ meant that his teachings and personal example would fill out or expand the application of the commandments. He didn't come to destroy the commandments. He didn't come to take away the law. You know, the Greek word pleroo, P-L-E-R-O-O, which means fulfill. Fill to the brim. If you want to read Bynes' Complete Expository Dictionary on the subject Old and New Testament, the words fill means to level up, to fill to the brim, as it said earlier. When Jesus explained that everything written in the law and the prophets falls under the two major headings of love for God and love for your neighbor. Two headings. You know, if that would just be throughout the whole world, wouldn't that be something? He was emphasizing the importance of our relationships. Now I'm going to go back to Matthew 22. You already know that, Matthew 22, because it talks about that smart lawyer, doesn't it? He's smarter than Christ. And then again, he said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And then he talks about all the commandments. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You can get all the Ten Commandments. He was telling us that every command of God defines an aspect of the exemplary relationship we should have with each other and with God. We should have that with each other, brethren. When we look closely at the Ten Commandments, and we should do that, we see that the first four define how to relate to God, how to show proper love and respect for Him, for God's name. And the other six defines the essential for right relationships with each other. You got to study the Ten Commandments to see how the love is there. And God plainly tells us that all of His commandments are for our good, yours and mine, brethren. And they have a purpose. They are to be a blessing and a benefit to every human mind. They define the relationship that produce respect and fully understand and applies them to us. Many people see God's Ten Commandments as a list of don'ts. And we read that back there when you, all the commandments, don't, do not. And that's what a lot of the people realize, that it says that, so they believe it. They believe it's a list of don'ts. But God's commandments, He commands us to love one another and do and love His Ten Commandments. Again, not nine, but Ten Commandments. Let's turn one more time to 1 John 4. I'm going to read 20 and 21. 1 John 4. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he loves, he who loves God loves his brother also. Think about that, brethren. And God commands us to love one another and do His commandments. I want you to look around. There is no love in this world. Just think about that, brethren. Think about what's going on today about between the Democrats and Republicans. That is so easy to see. There's definitely no love there. How long can that last? I'll tell you how long it's going to last. Till Christ returns. Hopefully that won't be there very long. So look around. There is no love in the world because of wars, rumors of wars, famines, these new diseases that's coming out, tornadoes, earthquakes, different places. And if there were truly godly love, would any of this happen? If everybody in the world would obey the Ten Commandments. That's all you have to do is obey the Ten Commandments, brethren. None of this would happen. There would be none of this in the world.